Today we're going to look at a Windows 10 IoT core-based breathalyzer that actually takes your sample breath and can calculate the volume of alcohol within that breath, and it will then be able to store that over into an Azure Mobile Services table that we'll be able to see on a screen. So this is a pretty cool hack that I was able to come up with during one of our internal hackathons at Microsoft. This was built in about 8 hours or so from start to fin. Much of that due to the availability of some of the libraries that we leveraged in this project, as I'll talk about. So it's really cool. It's a textbook IoT scenario where you're actually sampling something from the physical world, operating on it in some way, and then sending it up into the cloud for later perusal, archival, or maybe even learning from with machine learning later on. So the first thing you're going to need to get started with this project is Visual Studio, which of course is now free. You can get the Visual Studio Community Edition. This will be sufficient for this project. If you need to get that, you can just head on over to visualstudio.com and click on the downloads page. In addition, you'll need a PC configured to develop for Windows IoT Core and a Raspberry Pi 2 configured for Windows IoT Core. Both of these things can be found at the windowsondevices.com website by going to the Get Started and selecting your Raspberry Pi 2 and following the instructions for setting up your PC and also for setting up your device. In addition, this project does utilize a cloud component, so you will need a Microsoft Azure account. And one thing that's pretty interesting here is the usage of the SyncFusion Essential Studio for a Universal Windows platform. Really, the biggest reason we chose this was we knew that Windows 10 IoT Core supports UWP, which means in theory that any code that's written for this device could technically run on Windows Mobile, HoloLens, Xbox One. We wanted to see how true that was by taking an off-the-shelf UWP component from a third-party provider, and what we found was it actually worked without any issues. It worked exactly as expected. So you'll want to grab a few pieces of hardware. You'll of course need a Raspberry Pi 2, some male to female jumper cables, so usually the ones that have the both ends. You may be able to get around this with some different cables, but these are the ones I chose. A typical breadboard for wiring up your circuit. You're going to utilize an MCP3208 analog to digital converter chip. You can grab any alcohol sensor of the MQ2 or MQ3 variety. And optionally, you can pick up a 1.8 TFT color display module. I believe this also works with the one from Adafruit, although I have not tested it personally, or I've gotten feedback that this code does work with that as well. And you'll want to get an external HDMI screen, as this application does have a graphical user interface. So you can use something to display it through. I recommend this guy, the Tontec 7-inch HD color monitor. Got a link to that in my blog post, or the Avermedia USB capture card, which is this box I've got right over here. This is going to allow me to actually push my display into my computer. So we'll actually be able to see this on screen. It's going to be beautiful. It won't be grainy like any of the previous videos I may have made where we use the small screen with the webcam pointed at it. So it's going to look really, really great. So first thing first, you're going to make sure that you have this circuit laid out properly. So you'll see I've got this circuit already devised over here, and I've got this kind of laid out here in the picture. It looks very similar. You've got your screen, your Raspberry Pi, you've got your analog sensor, and then over here I have the ADC controller. And before we jump in too deep, you're going to want to follow this Raspberry Pi 2 pinout diagram. So this is the Raspberry Pi 2 pinout as it is for Windows 10 IoT Core. And this will show you exactly how to wire from each pin to the corresponding area on the Raspberry Pi 2 device. The first thing you'll want to do is connect the analog digital converter chip. You may be wondering why we're using this, and the answer is that the Raspberry Pi 2 off the shelf does not support analog I/O. So you're going to have an ADC, an analog digital converter, in place there so that the digital GPIO pins can make sense of any analog sensors that we employ. And as you can see here, when you're wiring this up, you can go by the listing that I have here. So if you look at the spec sheet, You'll see the D ground here on pin 9, CS at SHDN. These will correspond to pins on the Raspberry Pi, for example, ground and SPI1 CS0, which can be found in this image up here. So once you've got that wired up, you can go ahead and connect your MQ2 gas sensor. That's what I'll be using here, the MQ2. And what I've chosen to do is utilize the signal pin off of the channel 0 of the ADC. So it comfortably slid right in there. And then I've got my negative attached to the ground and 5 volts attached to the Pi. So I just kind of bridge that across the breadboard here. And finally, you'll optionally want to connect the TFT color display module. This is not necessary, but it does allow for a bit more user interaction, as we'll see when I show the demonstration of this application. And you can see here the pinouts on the device where I've got my mouse. So if you've got one of these, you can sort of flip it around and see this a little clearer. And this will show you where to wire those up to the specific pins on the Raspberry Pi. So as far as code goes, we will be jumping into a project, the Microsoft IoT Devices Library. This is written by my colleague, Jared Binns, and it's hosted over here on GitHub. So you can go ahead and pull down this whole project, and inside is a samples folder, which will have the breathalyzer sample project inside. So you can go ahead and open that up. It looks something like, let me pop in here, documents, GitHub and IoT devices, and it'll look something like samples, breathalyzer, and then you can just open this project file right here to get into there. Or if you want, you can just open the full solution as I've done within Visual Studio. So once you've got all that code pulled down, you can launch that up in the Visual Studio, and you'll see something like the following. This is my XAML designer showing our user interface. I'm going to hop into mainpage.xaml.cs. I'm going to head all the way to the top of this project. And you'll see we're actually distributing this with the mobile service client, and I've got my mobile service key. Of course, I can revoke this at any time if this starts to get abused. But this will allow you to store up into our database if you leave this unmodified. However, you can create your own mobile service by heading over to azure.com. Creating a new mobile service simply by going to the mobile services, clicking new, mobile service, create, typing in a name, and then following through with the prompt to create your own mobile service. Once you've done that, I've created one here called Breathalyzer. You will be able to click down here for manage keys. This will give you something called an application key. You can go ahead and fill that application key in here, and then give the URL of the mobile service that you created in this particular field. Once you've done that, you should be able to publish data into your own mobile service. So pretty amazing how I was able to talk about that in under a minute. It's really the power of Azure makes it very simple to interact with the cloud. I mean, if you want to store stuff up in a database, it's literally just a click away to create these things, full backend in a box, and then a couple lines of code, and we can create a client that can connect into there to insert and retrieve data from that table. So you'll see the only part that's worth configuring is this member variables region up at the top of the code. So you can change the mobile service out to one that's under your own control. In addition, you'll see things down here like capture seconds. Although I haven't deployed the application here, what you'll sort of see here is like a typical breathalyzer. It'll prompt you whether you're ready and wait for you to blow over an ambient threshold. So I've defined this at 0.14. You can see that I've got these readings down here. That's kind of what it picks up out of the air whenever there's no one blowing on the device. So I might want to raise that to 0.15 or something, just so that it doesn't go off unless it's in the presence of air that actually contains alcohol, as we'll see in our demonstration. And I've also got the capture seconds. So perhaps you want to capture this for a longer threshold. And the way it works is when you're actually blowing into the sensor, as you'll see, it's going to capture the greatest value that it sees over that time frame. So if I was to raise this to 30 seconds and blow in there, it would grab the maximum value seen during that 30 seconds. The rest of this is really just initializer values. And we'll walk through this code real quick because it's actually pretty short. I think barring our fake data, we arrive at around 200 lines of code, and that's including spaces. So there's really not too much going on here. So we've got a history that we take from our breath measurements that's going to populate a table. In fact, a chart that's actually a UWP component provided from SyncFusion. So we mentioned that earlier, that SyncFusion has this essential studio for UWP. One of the things that's in there is some great charting tools. So we thought that having a chart in this application would be a great idea. And we really wanted to see if it would work out the box. And we were impressed to see that the Windows IoT Core actually handled that with zero modifications. So these charts actually work across any platform. So once we've got that loaded in there, go ahead and load our data. This data is going to come from Azure. And we'll go ahead and grab our historical breath measurements. And you can see this. We really just grabbed this from the breath measurement table that we set up previously in the code. And we grab the last 30 in a descending order. So we're grabbing the values and we're then going to display those into a grid view. And here you'll see we're setting up the GPIO code. This stuff's actually rather interesting. This is how we're reading from the ADC chip here. So we're using something called an ADC provider manager. This is actually part of the IoT devices library that we showcased earlier from GitHub. And it has support for a variety of different things, the various different ADCs, different devices. For example, the library that drives the display screen that you see here is actually part of that as well. There's a lot to go in there and it's currently under development, but we really hope that when we finish this in the next couple of months, that we'll have a series of tutorials to kind of guide you through what that library can provide. And we'd hope to see some community contributions when we're completed with that. You'll see that I'm creating an instance of the MCP3208, and we're telling it that we're using chip select line 0 off of a controller of SPI1. So this is an SPI interface, and the Raspberry Pi does have two. It has an SPI 0 and an SPI 1. We're going to utilize the SPI 1 for controlling the analog digital converter chip. And then we're going to set up the display here. And so we're using this ST7735, giving it a 40 megahertz clock frequency. So it's going to run rather fast, stay pretty much in sync with what happens in our larger UI, as you'll see. And this will operate on the other SPI interface, SPI 0. And we're setting here the data command pin and the reset pin. You'll notice that these actually map to the wiring data that I showed previously on my blog. And we're going to display this in portrait mode. You'll see this is a rather simple property where we can make the screen display in portrait or landscape mode. We could even swap in a different width or height if we had a different screen that we wanted to set up. So once that's set up, we're going to read from the analog sensor and we're going to determine when the reading has changed. We're going to change a different state. And when we go into these different states, think about having a program with a state machine that has ready to blow, taking reading, sending reading, and then cooling down to return back to the state for being able to listen for the next reading. And that's all that this does. And having this state machine actually gives us the ability to do things like control the user interface based on the state, as well as being able to adapt to it in code, in the code behind us we're looking at right now. All this is operating off of some timers, and our test and update state async is really our state machine. So you can see we look to see which state we're in. And using this, we can control our visual state manager. And you'll see what this looks like in just a moment. And then when we've gotten a reading, we go ahead and send this over to Azure. Pretty simple. And then down here, I've got some sample data that we fill. So pretty small code for something that does something rather interesting and could be life-changing, right? If we had these installed across bars all across America, then we could potentially save people from accidents on the road, right? By being able to identify when someone's had too much to drink or something like that. Of course, I do want to stress that this project is currently a novelty, so don't take any of these readings extremely accurately. You know, this is just a sample project to kind of show you the power of Windows 10 IoT Core. No guarantees implied. So back over here in the main page XAML, this gives our user interface, and you'll see we've got all of our states here are visible at once. So you can see the reading percent, and you can see the cooling down screen, and you can also see the countdown. And you'll see up here are two areas. One of these is for a historical chart. It's going to use the UWP control from SyncFusion. Down here, we're going to have a data grid that's going to have the values of the last people who've come up to the device and given us an error sample. Over here, you can provide an alias, and we'll show exactly what that looks like in just a minute. So this is my user interface, and over here, I've got my data. So let's take a quick look at what some of this data looks like already. We've got a table called breath measurement. Go ahead and open that. And we're literally just taking in the alias and we're taking in the value. So we are taking in that raw value and utilizing that to store up in Azure for either post-processing or, maybe logging, however you want to look at it. So without further ado, let's go ahead and launch this application and see what it looks like. So I'm going to go ahead and make sure I've got my machine configured. It's currently deploying to 192.168.1.171. The way I did that was right click on the breathalyzer project, select properties, and then click debug. Make sure use authentication is unchecked. And I'm going to pipe in here to my Raspberry Pi device. Notice using this AverMedia HDMI USB 3 capture device, I can see my Raspberry Pi on my desktop. So it's really cool for development. Highly recommend if you're planning some ambitious projects with Windows IoT Core that you invest in one of these or something similar, because this has proven very, very useful whenever I'm developing my code to be able to just see it right here on the desktop. So you'll see the IP addresses match, and so should be able to just deploy over to the remote machine. So see deploy succeeded, and we can see the application is initializing on the Raspberry Pi 2 device. This may take a moment for it to sync up. So it is going to have to grab all that data from Azure, and we're going to wait for the display to synchronize and make sure that the ADC manager is set up and all that. So this could take a little bit to deploy, especially the first time. If it's your first time deploying this application, it may need to copy over quite a few libraries for the UWP Essentials pack from SyncFusion. And here we go. I've got the user interface is starting to display, and it's kind of in a state of limbo here, just waiting to grab some data to populate a table. And here we go. So a few interesting things up here at the top. You'll see this historical data over time showing the last individuals to use the device. And you'll see that I am exceeding the ambient threshold. You'll see that down here. I'm reading at 0.143. So this is triggering the device to actually capture right now without me really blowing. That's okay. It's just for demo purposes. One thing that's interesting is what I'm seeing on this control, this user control here, is the same as what I'm seeing on the LCD screen. So that was by design. This is one of the components included in the IoT devices library. And so you can sort of see what's going on here. Let's really test it though. Let's make sure that this thing really works, right? So I'm gonna go ahead and take some HEB 50% isopropyl alcohol solution. And this thing is currently sampling rather rapidly. And I should be able to, I've actually got a keyboard connected up to this device. What I do recommend if you guys want to interact with your devices is this guy, the Re Mini keyboard. It's really cool. It's a mouse and keyboard in one. It's compatible with the Windows 10 IoT Core. So I'm going to come in here and give this an alias, PDCarlo. And I'm going to go ahead and take this alcohol soaked napkin and place this in front of our sensor. Now notice down here in the output that we're seeing from Visual Studio that we're currently reading around a 0.14. This is the around that ambient threshold that we've set. And because of that, the device constantly thinks that I'm beating that 0.14, so it thinks that there's an actual test going on. So what I'll do now is place this alcohol in front of the sensor. And you'll see the reading has already gone up. It's actually sent 12%. And if I get closer with this, 17%, 22%, 30%, 35%. And that was enough to get me up here as one of the potential people with too high alcohol content in the breath. So you'll see I've now appeared on the leaderboard here. And just to show that one more time, let's do another test. I'll just go ahead and type in test example as the alias. And we'll go ahead and place the alcohol real close here to try to get a high reading. 39%, 49%. Go ahead and pull back. Notice it takes that maximum reading, and it is now sending, test example is now up here with a 49%. So remember that because I'm using Visual Studio here, the development of this was actually greatly improved upon than what I normally see on typical IoT projects where you're usually writing C on a very small device. In this case, I was able to set breakpoints within the code since we had Visual Studio available to us that are actually debugging code running on the device. So that was cool. We really ended up building this thing. Given that we had the library existing, which really helped in development, we were able to build this in approximately 6 hours. We had our MVP up and running. I think the hackathon ran for a total of 8 hours. So not much time there, but we were able to get this guy out. So keep in mind here for this particular example, it is utilizing that IoT devices library. It's really cool. It actually supports all 36 of 37 sensors included in the SunFounder Raspberry Pi kit. So if you're looking for something that you want to pick up that you can utilize in Windows IoT Core projects, this kit combined with this library gives you the ability to use 37 or 36 of 37 sensors from the SunFounder kit. And in addition, it's interesting to think about this. Really, this example that I've shown could be modified to report on any analog reading. So any of the analog sensors included in that kit could use this code with some slight modification to do some interesting things. So think about this. You can monitor like sunlight and saturation to perhaps log whenever you're exceeding threshold values in a garden that you might be working on. You could even do something like put a pressure sensor, right? So something that can tell the amount of pressure that's being applied or force that's being applied. You could build a strongman game, right? You've probably seen these at your local carnival, if you've ever been to the county fair or something like that, right? You could build something like this that's IoT controlled. And imagine that you could have a strongman game that's played around the world to really find who the strongest person is. It's a fun idea, maybe not be serious as some of the other ideas that you could come up with, but sometimes it's fun to have some creativity with these IoT ideas. I know a lot of the stuff I've come up with that's been useful is usually forged in some sort of a creative idea first. So hopefully you guys find this example really useful and inspiring. I really like to see people pick up the IoT devices library, the SunFounder kit, and see what you can kind of put together with this, right? And what you can build. And if you want to chop up our code and see what you can make, by all means, it is up on GitHub and it's there for that particular reason. We'd like to see pull requests, we'd like to see forks, and we'd like to see what you guys are able to build. And don't forget the Azure Cloud. I want to say with about two, three lines of code, and you can actually see this here in the dashboard. If you've got an existing Windows app, right, and it says connect to an existing app, we can simply create the mobile service, and then with this code down here, we can insert an item into that table. You can't ask for anything easier. And really, when you combine all this, the existence of this library, having those sensors on hand, the usability of the Windows 10 IoT Core, and the simplicity of Windows Azure, that's how we were able to build such a project like this in about 6 hours. So that said, keep hacking, make sure you guys are inspired. I want to see some really cool stuff come out of this, and maybe see something that changes the world. That would be very exciting to see you guys leverage the IoT platform in such a way. And it's certainly possible if you put your mind to it. So without further ado, happy hacking and have a nice one. Till next time.